Thank you. He's also the timekeeper, so he's going to give me that when it's time to shut up. My name is Dale. I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Dale.
And I just have to say right off the start that my heart is really full and open today. I'm very grateful to be sober. I've been sober in some form since February 19th, 1994, and I'm still really grateful to be sober. And when I hear the promises read, I don't know about y'all, but I hung on to those promises when I first came into AA because I really wanted to be able to look the world in the eye. And I remember when I first got sober, the first couple of conventions I went to, and I would see the people there, and they were happy, and they were having a good time, and I would go hear the people speak, and they were funny, and I thought, wow, I want to be like that. And now, like, how did that happen? I don't know. There must be a higher power at work in my life. And I like that phrase, higher power. I couldn't say the word God when I first came into AA. I kind of didn't like God or my idea of God. And somebody told me one time, well, you don't have to have your grandmother's idea of God to get sober. That was very helpful to me. You don't have to be a Christian in order to get sober. You don't have to be a Muslim or a Jew or a Hindu or any do or anything like that in order to get sober. Some of us do go on to become active in some sort of faith tradition after we've been in AA for a while, but it's not a requirement of being sober. Our 12th step tells us that having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, to me that's the point of being in AA and taking the steps, is in order to have a spiritual awakening, an understanding that there is a power that is greater than I am, that I can have a relationship with, that I can work with, that I can cooperate with, that will help me to be sober and to be a useful member of not only AA, but also society as well. Because when I was drinking, I wasn't much use to anybody at all, except for myself, and even then sometimes, right? So the whole point of AA to me is to have a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience. And so what does that mean to have a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience? I liked that it tells us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I remember the first time I read about Bill Wilson's spiritual experience, where he was in the hospital. He talked about he felt like there was a wind blowing through the room. He was on a mountaintop. He was surrounded by light. And I was like, man, that sounds really cool. I would like to have that too. And what I didn't realize is I kind of had a spiritual experience before I came to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was hanging out with some Native American folks. We were doing a sweat lodge ceremony. And I remember the day that was the first time I ever told anybody, I can't stop drinking, and I don't know what to do. I was in the sweat lodge when I said that, and as the divine would have it, everybody that was in the lodge that day was in recovery, except for me. And so I just cried and cried, and it felt like years and years of just crap just started pouring out of me, and I was at this point of a crossroads, I felt like. After the ceremony was over, I was sitting on the front porch of the little house of the late where the lady lived, where we used to go and do the ceremonies. And one of the people in the lodge was She worked at a treatment center in my town. How does this happen, right? And so she came up to me and said, you know, if you, that's really great that you said that out loud, which is our first step, right? That you said that, but you know, if you really want to get sober, you're going to have to do something too. And here's the name of someone that you can call that will help you. And so I called Phil that day when I got home, and he came and got me the next day and took me to the treatment center. And I was so grateful to the people at the treatment center because they gave me these little blue pills that made me feel a lot better. I didn't have to shake or sweat or go through any of the withdrawals that some of us have to do. And so I was very grateful for that. And because I didn't have insurance, they kicked me out after about a week. But that's all I needed, you know. And then I started going to AA, to the fellowship group in Huntsville, Alabama. And I went every day for 5 years. I didn't miss a single day in 5 years. And I became really active. So a spiritual experience to me doesn't have to be like what we read about Bill Wilson having in the Big Book. I mean, that's really cool and all. And, you know, I like to have all kind of mountaintop experiences. I don't know about you. That's one of the reasons that I drank so much, because it changed the way that I felt, you know. And so when I came into AA, I had to have a substitute for that. And so now God is my drug. I feel like I know this sounds cheesy. It sounds like a Coca-Cola commercial from the 70s, but I get high on the divine. I get a buzz on the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times when I feel that, it's when I'm with y'all. When I'm together in a room like this, I can feel the presence of the divine. And I don't have to call it God today. I don't have to call it the flying spaghetti monster or anything that I want to. It can be anything that I want it to be, because every one of us has our own individual connection to whatever it is, right? And it's inside of us all the time. See, I was looking out here so hard for something to make me feel okay. And really what I had to do by working the steps is release all of the things that stood in the way to me getting in touch with something that was already inside of me. The God, or whatever you want to call it, is right here in this room. It's inside every person here. It doesn't ever go away. It's always with us all the time, but it's subtle. And if I'm messed up all the time, I can't get in touch with that. And what they taught me in AA was to be able to get all of the years of crap out of the way that was blocking my experience of this subtle energy that is always with us all the time. I had to release all of those old ideas that I was worthless, that God didn't love me, that there was no point in me being around. I know y'all are with me there. If you're not thinking or haven't thought any of those thoughts before, we'll just go out and have a couple more drinks, and you will eventually. I had to get over this idea that I was somehow not worth saving. And AA helped me with that, helped me to get rid of all these years of bitterness and resentfulness and self-loathing. And so today, I think I'm a pretty good guy, you know. When I get out of the way and let that spirit, that whatever it is, move through me. So this morning, or I was getting ready to come down here. And see, this is it for me. It's like the window of my bathroom is open. We've been leaving the windows open at home because the fall weather is so beautiful here. I love being in Savannah in October. It's just a wonderful time to be here. And there was a hawk that I could hear in my backyard that was calling. And I was like, there it is. You know, there it is again. It doesn't ever go away. It's always reminding me, here I am, here I am. If you need me, I'm there, I'm here. You know, when I sit on my porch at night and I pet my cat, I'm having a little spiritual experience. When I go to the beach here and I walk along and I feel the presence of something greater than myself. And it's not because I'm any different than anybody else here. That's available to all of us all the time. You know, it will always materialize if we work for it, right? So I'm so grateful to Miss Evelyn, to Kathy, to Larry, to Liz, to all the people on the workshop committee, to everybody that has worked so hard, all the volunteers to work on this for so many months so that we could all be here today and get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
I want to thank Dale, and our next speaker will be Sandra T. Welcome, Sandra.
I'm Sandra, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Sandra.
And this is the day that God has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Would you please join me in the third step prayer? God, I offer myself to thee, to bear with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away all my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And may I do thy will always. Thank you. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with you regarding spirituality. And I'm so grateful that Larry gave me the opportunity to be here today. It's nothing that I've done that's so great. It's only because of his grace and his mercy that I stand here today sober. I've always believed in God. I've always been religious. And I've always cried out to God. And it wasn't until I became a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that I found out about this thing called spirituality. My sobriety date is February 4th, 1993, and I've been sober by the grace of God for 26 years. I grew up in Savannah and had a career in New York City. And while I was in New York City, I was strung out on drugs and alcohol. My father brought me back to Savannah two times, really. And one day I met my husband, David Thomas, who told me I had a problem. And I thought he had a problem because he didn't drink, drug, or smoke cigarettes. And he made me promise that if I ever use again, he'd take me to treatment. Well, one day, he was waiting on me when I got home, and he promised to take me to treatment, so I kept my promise. I had no idea what treatment was. I thought he was going to take me to a spa. So I threw some stuff in a bag, and he took me to treatment. And I've been sober ever since. What I'd like to share with you today is some things that helped me become spiritual. See, spirituality works differently in everybody. It doesn't matter what your higher power is. Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed us to do and call our higher power whatever we want to. It's different things for different people. For me, it's God and a higher power. When I became spiritual, or when I had my first spiritual experience, was when I worked step three. At least that's what I remember. When I turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God, the compulsion to drink and drug was removed. I was so grateful because I thought I would never be able to stop using something. And as a result of that spiritual experience, I was comfortable in doing the fourth and fifth steps. Now, the fourth and fifth steps gave me another spiritual awakening. Of course, I didn't want to do the fourth step. I didn't want to share all the stuff that I did with anybody. Because, see, I thought I was different. I thought I was unique. I thought the things that I did were only done by me. And when I did the fourth and fifth steps, I had another spiritual awakening. I was so grateful to my sponsor who shared that opportunity with me. When I did the fifth step, I had another spiritual awakening because I had the opportunity to be forgiven and I had the opportunity to forgive others. You see, I didn't understand until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous that forgiveness is a spiritual principle. It's something that God wants us to do. If we don't forgive, then we won't be forgiven. I didn't know that until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. Even in all my experiences in church, I never really understood the bottom line of forgiveness. So I was grateful to have that opportunity. My mouth is real dry. Excuse me. Okay. I have to ask God for sobriety every day because, see, it's a gift. And that's how I maintain my spirituality. Because I have to remember that I only have a daily reprieve based on my spiritual condition. I also practice the 11th step. I seek God through prayer and meditation on a daily basis to ensure my power. And I intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me. My God and I have a relationship. See, it's all about relationship. Because my God, my higher power, walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I enjoy Alcoholics Anonymous. I attend meetings every day. In fact, I attend two meetings every day with my husband. The reason why I keep going to meetings is because I'm afraid of what will happen to me if I stop. I don't believe I have another recovery left. See, when I got here, I had the gift of desperation. I was homeless. I was walking the streets of Savannah, flagging down cars. I was willing to go to any length to get sober. And if you tried to help me, I tell you, leave me alone. I'm grown. Don't bother me. I was climbing in and out of the windows of my parents' homes. I was pawning my dad's car. I was writing checks on him. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop no matter what I did. And I was suicidal and afraid of what would happen to me if I didn't quit. But I thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous, because this is where I learned how to live sober, just one day at a time. Some people call it a spiritual experience. Others call it a psychic change. I call it being born again. It's whatever works for you. It's a good thing. That's what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's no script. You can do it whatever you want to do, the best that you can, and whatever works for you, it's okay. This is the only organization where I have felt comfortable, where I have felt where I can be myself, you know. To God be the glory for the things that he's done in my life. I'm so grateful to be here today. I'm glad that we're not down in the Mercer Theater, because I'd really be tripping out with all the people down there. Another great thing has happened to me as a result of getting sober. God has called me to share the gospel with my brothers and sisters, and for that I'm very grateful. If I had not gotten sober, I would have never had this opportunity. So each day when I wake up in the morning, I thank God for my sobriety. I spend quiet times in meditation and prayer on a daily basis. It's what keeps me centered. It's what keeps me focused. And today I have that joy that the world can't give me and the world can't take away. I have that peace that surpasses my understanding. It's the greatest opportunity I've ever been to be an alcoholic. Who would have ever thought a drug addict and a crackhead like me would have the opportunity to share my experience and strength and hope at the state convention? My God is awesome. What a mighty God we serve. Newton had a spiritual experience, John Newton. He was a slave trader. Some of you might know about John Newton. And he used to carry slaves up and down the river. And one day that ship sank. All the slaves died in the bottom of that ship, except John Newton. And that's what it took for him to have a spiritual experience. It made him realize that he did have a higher power too. And he became a priest. And as a result of that spiritual experience, he wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Would you join me in singing Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you for letting me share.
I'd like to thank Sandra for speaking for us. Our next speaker will be David L.
My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, David.
I want to open with a prayer. I think most of you know this prayer. So let's bow our heads. Help. Amen. So, this prayer that I began with is something that we know intuitively. It's something that is written within us. It's part of who we are. And wherever we go in this world, whatever we get ourselves into, whether it be alcohol or a bear or a fire, we instinctively ask for help. Because we try to touch on something that is greater, more powerful than ourselves. So this panel discussion is talking about spirituality in AA. And one of the gifts that we have as addicts and alcoholics and people who deal with processes is that we have reached a point in our lives that we know that we are not God, that we are not in charge, that it's not us that can save ourselves, we have to reach out. And so we do, we ask this prayer out into the cosmos, out into the order of existence, and we ask for help. And those of us who are lucky are able to hear that voice tell us, to let us know that we're not alone, that there is help. Now, most of the time when we experience this, it comes in the form of something that we are familiar with. It's a friend, it's a family member, maybe it's a member of a religious institution, maybe it's someone in a treatment center, maybe it's this someone on the street. And they bring us to a place. And it's unfamiliar and it's scary at first. And they say, you're not alone. That this is the way that you can get the help you need. Now, unfortunately, my story is not a story that I came to these principles on my own. We read in the big book in chapter 4, if a code of morals or better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, then many of us would have recovered a long time ago. Now that's my story. Because I was a priest before. I was a priest during. And I'm a priest afterwards. That what I experienced couldn't be found in a book. Even a holy book. It couldn't be found in intending rituals. It couldn't be found by the hands of another human being. No one could touch my heart. No one could tell me, hey, David, don't do that. And I would be like, oh, okay. I had to get to a point where life became unmanageable. And only then I remembered something. I remembered long ago, before I was a priest when I was being trained, that I would go to AA meetings, 2 meetings a day, all summer long. And I was like, wait a minute, I remember this from 17 years ago. What was that first step again? And I could Google it. And I could sit there outside of the meeting and I could read that first step. Because there had been seeds planted. There had been experiences that I had before that led me to a place of willingness. Now, what we've already heard from the other panelists is there's many different ways to be spiritual in AA. It takes willingness to go down that road. It takes devotion to those beliefs. It takes the willingness to go deeper into that relationship with something that's greater than yourself. Because I think that the longer that we work these steps, the more that we go deeper into that relationship, the more we find the people we were always meant to be. But I think it's equally true that not every spiritual entity out there is there for your good graces. They're not always there to lead you into a place of wholeness. And not every spiritual practice will work on every person, that you have to find where you are. You have to wrestle with it. You have to try it. You have to say, does this lead me into a place of goodness, of wholeness, of rightness? Or does this lead me away from who I am? There's not one step that we can all take that will take us to the same place. That we have to try, we have to test, we have to discern what our understanding of God is. And it's a beautiful thing to encounter someone who has the ability to lead another to the well, to the mountaintop, to the desert, to the river, whatever it is that gets them into the jumping off place, that they can find their path that leads to their understanding of a power greater than themselves. So that leads us to the second prayer that we all know. Let us pray. Thank you.